It goes without saying at this point that reporting out of Syria is highly dangerous, but the danger isn't always from ISIS. There are other groups still fighting to topple the government of Bashar al-Assad and government forces fighting back. Journalist Matthew Akin spent a week in Syria's largest city, Aleppo, shadowing a group of young men, and he wrote an article about what they do for the website Medium. And here's the thing that surprised me. These young men aren't fighters. They save lives. I want to make sure people understand. These guys are like ambulance drivers slash firemen, and they run out to where bombs have hit, right?
Exactly. They're first responders. So they are driving out to where bombs have hit, which often means the buildings have collapsed and people are trapped under the rubble. And now it's like a miniature earthquake. If you can get to those people without further injuring them in time, then you can often save their lives. And that's what they do on a regular basis. And you have to imagine the difference between that and firefighters is like a once-in-a-lifetime event, right? A mass casualty incident, say, in the West. These guys are dealing with every day, sometimes several times a day. So it's really horrific, but it does mean that they save a lot of lives.
There's this also kind of tragicomic element to this team because, you know, there are no normal communications in Aleppo. So essentially, they're listening for a bomb blast. Sometimes they're seeing, you know, smoke and fire, and they're racing out to a part of the city and asking directions as they go.
Exactly. They're rattling along in this donated German fire truck, the siren blaring, leaning out the window, yelling at people, "Where's the bomb? Where's the bomb?" And then as you get closer, people's reactions, you know, you can tell that you're getting closer because people's reactions get more and more agitated until you can see in their eyes that they just missed it. And then you round the corner and there it is, you know, some horrific massacre.
And, you know, the thing I kept thinking about, if they go to where one, you know, missile or attack from a helicopter went off, there's nothing to say that it won't happen again.
Well, actually, it's very likely to happen again.
Exactly.
The regime's a tactic called double tap strikes where, you know, 20 minutes after they hit a site, they'll come back and bomb it again because they're trying to hit the crowd and the rescuers who are working there. So you can imagine what it's like for these guys. They've already lost members of their team to these kinds of attacks, and they're working under crazy pressure. They're going to the most dangerous places, which are where these strikes are, and they're working there to trying to save people. So it's extremely nerve-wracking work, you know, as I found shadowing them for a week.
Now, you write about one of the guys there, Khaled Hajo. You focus a good bit on him. What was he like, and what did he do before the war?
He's one of those people whose whole lives have been transformed by the war, perhaps even in some positive ways. I mean, he wasn't really doing much before the war. He just had a boring job working in a vocational school, had studied a bit of law but hadn't finished it. And then he got involved with these teams soon after the revolution began. And because of his honesty and sort of unshakable calm in extremely dangerous situations and his natural leadership qualities, the guys elected him as their leader, and they're totally devoted to him. And he's become a major force in helping establish these civil defense teams in Aleppo. And he's completely obsessed with it. He hasn't taken any time off. He lives, breathes, eats, and sleeps these teams.
Now, Khaled is one of the older ones, right? He's in his upper 20s. But
he's 30.
He's 30. Wow. He's ancient.
Yes.
by standards. Yes. Of this group. Most of them are in their upper teens or 20s, aren't they?
Yeah, they're tremendously young. And if you look at the portraits that this very talented photographer I was there with, Sebastiano Tomata Piccolomini, did, you'll see that how they look like kids. You know, it's incredible.
And are they in it for what? The thrill of running around Aleppo in a German fire truck? Why are they doing it?
Kind of. You know, I think they are mostly adrenaline junkies. You kind of have to be to do this stuff. They're all motivated by altruism, no doubt. But there's also this kind of fact that young men get a thrill out of war. And that's a weird thing. And of course, that's a tiny minority of people. But for them, it's partially an exciting adventure, even though they suffer terribly and see all sorts of horrible things and may get killed doing it. They're inspired by the team, the camaraderie, by the adrenaline rush. And in that, you know, respect, they kind of share the same characteristics with a lot of the people who've joined the fighting, the rebel fighters or even the regime soldiers, perhaps. But they're not killing people. They're saving lives. And I thought that really added a much more positive quality to this need for adrenaline.
Matthew Akins, I wonder if, do these guys actually have a hope for the future? Do they see a future, or are they just kind of living for the moment now?
You know, one guy, when I asked him that question, one guy told me, my dream is to have a future, to have dreams about the future. And in the world that they live in right now, they can't really comprehend what's going to be their country after this war, which shows no sign of ending, which has already destroyed so much. And I think they're just trying to get through it.
Writer Matthew Akins. His story from Syria was published on the website Medium.